with the sight of Edda and the old man Snake, unable to get past their panic to help her. Except for Kitty. Pretty Kitty, gritty Kitty, who leapt across the hearth, wielding the tomahawk used for last-minute splitting of over-chunky kindling. Wading through the lashing snake's blows, she severed head from spine in two hacks. "You can take your weight off the chair now, Eds," Kitty said to her sister as she dropped the hatchet. "What a monster! You'll be black and blue from bruises." "You're mad," sobbed Grace, running tears of shock. "Fools," said Tufts fiercely to Edda and Kitty both. The white-faced Reverend Thomas Latimer was too occupied in dealing with his second wife, in rigid hysterics, to do what he longed to do: comfort his wonderfully brave daughters. The screams and cries were dying down now, and the terror had diminished sufficiently for some of the more intrepid women to cluster around the snake and inspect its mortality for themselves. An enormous thing! And for all that Mrs. Enid Treadby and Mrs. Henrietta Burdham assisted the rector in soothing Maud, no one except the four twins remembered the original purpose of this ruined gathering. What mattered was that strange creature Edda Latimer had killed a lethally venomous old man snake, and it was time to run home, there to perpetuate Corunda's main feminine activity: gossip, and her attendants, rumour and speculation. The four girls moved to an abandoned trolley of goodies, poured tea into frail cups, and plundered the cucumber sandwiches. "Aren't women fools?" Tufts asked, waving the teapot. "You would swear the sky was going to fall in. Typical you, though, Edda. What did you plan to do if the chair leg didn't succeed?" "Then, Tufts, I would have appealed to you for an idea."
"Huh? You didn't need to appeal to me, because our other brilliant thinker and schemer, Kitty, came to your rescue."
Tufts looked around.
"Stern the crows, they're all going home. Tuck in, girls, we can eat the lot."
"Mama will take 2 days to recover from this," Grace said cheerfully, holding out her cup for more tea. "Rather beats the shock of losing her 4 unpaid rectory housemaids." Kitty blew a rude noise. "Rubbish, Grace. The shock of losing her unpaid housemaids looms far larger in Mama's mind than the death of a snake, no matter how big or poisonous."
"What's more," said Tufts, "the first thing Mama will do when she is recovered is serve Edda a sermon on how to kill snakes with decorum and discretion. You created a rumpus."
"Dear me, yes, so I did," Edda said placidly, smearing rich red jam and a pile of whipped cream on top of a scone. "Yum. If I hadn't made a rumpus, the four of us would never have managed to get a scone. All Mama's cronies would have gobbled them." She laughed. "Next Monday, girls, next Monday we start lives of our own. No more Mama. And you know I don't mean that against you and Tufts, Kitty."
"I know it well," said Kitty gruffly.
It wasn't that Maud Latimer was consciously awful. According to her own lights, she was a saint among stepmothers as well as mothers. Grace and Edda had the same father as her own Tufts and Kitty, and there was no discrimination anywhere on the remotest horizon, Maud was quick to tell even the least interested observer of rectory life. How could 4 such gorgeous children be irksome to one who adored being a mother? And it might have worked out in reality, as it had within Maud's mind, were it not for a physical accident of destiny. Namely, that the junior of Maud's twins, Kitty, had a degree of beauty beyond her lovely sisters, whom she surpassed as the sun dims the brilliance of the moon. From Kitty's infancy, all the way to...